The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, Random Reptoid, or Chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us, share your story, share your experience, because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you very much for joining me tonight. Boy, what a week this has been. It's Friday. Thank goodness for that. And it's casual Friday tonight. And I don't know. It's been quite the week for me. And I'll tell you, first of all, we weren't even on for two nights of the week because we had a situation here on Tuesday that allowed us not to be on the air, which has nothing to do with the station, but it just had to turn out that way. And then last night or yesterday, around 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, I came down with a very heavy sort of – like it was like a shift – but it was like a very heavy headache, kind of felt sick to my stomach, didn't feel well at all. I found out that there was other people who felt that way as well, that's around the same time. Anybody else out there? So I'm talking between, 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Did anyone else feel that? Anyone else feel like a shift yesterday? Because I'd be very interested to know if there's like something energetically that had rumbled through, and I'd be very curious to know what you all thought about that, if anything like that had happened. So just let me know. And don't forget, folks, this is Casual Friday, so anything goes. We can talk about whatever we want. I have some stuff to talk about, but if we want to move the conversation somewhere else, we are more than happy to do so. And you can call in 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let me know what's on your mind. Also, you can put your comments into the comment area of any of the Facebook Lives that you are watching this from right now, if you are watching a Facebook Live. And, of course, you can send me an email, comment@ghostboxradio.com. And, of course, in studio or at station tonight with me, I have Mr. Adam. How are you tonight?
Doing pretty good. I've noticed the change in the station. There's no lineups anymore for the Taylor Swift ant concert. All the tents have been put away, and I haven't actually seen any ants tonight so far, which is nice.
Well, I did on Wednesday, and they did have them put away on Wednesday, but there was still a couple who refused to be evicted.
They were looking for those post-sale ticket masters.
they were hoping that they'd get deals on the vendors who didn't want to bring the T-shirts back with them, that maybe they get a good deal on Taylor Swift T-shirts or something. I'm not quite sure. Now, a couple things here. I wanted to ask you about, Adam, because I watched some stuff. And a friend of mine, a demonologist out in the East Coast, Brian, he had written to me, or not actually, it had nothing to do with me. I turned it into always stuff about me, Brian Taylor. But I saw on his Facebook feed a couple weeks ago a documentary that immediately got my interest. Okay. Have you ever heard of The Devil and Father Amort?
No, I have not.
So this is a documentary directed and presented by William Friedkin, who was the director of The Exorcist.
Yeah.
He had never seen, they make it sound like all of us have. He had never seen an exorcism, and he wanted to do so. He wanted to record it. He wanted to document it. And so back in 2017, he directs this documentary, The Devil and Father Amort. Do you know who Father Amort is by chance?
Yes, I do know who that is, but I did not know they made a film about it.
Right. And so for those who don't know, he was an exorcist in the Vatican, and they made a movie that came out this year, The Pope's Exorcist, with Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
And I didn't know about this documentary either until I saw Brian's post. It's a short documentary. It's, let's see, it's about 69 minutes. You got to check it out.
Yeah, because I know the Pope's Exorcist was based on a true story. Hence the air quotes that you can't see.
Right.
Based. But yeah, I kind of want to check this one out.
So I'm going to give away some plot points to this because this is what freaked me out. And, you know, you might want to watch the, you know, watch it and then sleep with the lights on again sort of thing.
My wife's really getting sick of the lights on.
Yeah, well, you know. So he goes because there's this woman named Christina who needs to be exorcised. She has been to multiple priests. She's been exorcised many times. And she has agreed to allow, first of all, Father Amort, which is thought to be the best person to do this. At that time, I think he's 91 years old at the time of making the documentary. During the documentary, the filming of the documentary, he celebrates his birthday. And she allows William Friedkin to document it. And so they interview her beforehand, and she seems just fine. She's just like, I have something with me, and I need to have it exercised. And I'm like, okay, well, this is where we're going to see that this sort of thing is much tamer than what it is in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Now, obviously, we're not talking Linda Blair type, you know.
Yeah.
You know, let's be honest about it. But what we are seeing here is they go ahead and they record it. And as soon as Father Amort starts to do prayer and stuff, and they have to immediately contain her. I can see that you're enjoying this already.
Okay.
She starts screaming.
Ooh, okay.
There's more than one voice in those screams.
Oh, Lord.
That's kind of what I was thinking, where I'm getting like kind of freaked out already over here about it. And I was just like, maybe it's just how she screams. I mean, for those tuning in, they're probably just like, what are they talking about? We're talking about exorcism. But it's more than one voice.
So it's kind of like one of the Tibetan throat singers, but with someone who is in the throes of an exorcism.
Right. And so –
holy cow.
So there's another priest that's containing her and her boyfriend. And at the end of it, once they actually had to contain her again because they're doing blessings on her parents. And when Father Amort did it on her mother, she got even more violent. Like it was even worse, much more like – profound. And you're watching this on screen, and it stops on a still screen with her boyfriend looking at the camera while holding her back.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, I'm like, this isn't right. That look on his face, what is going on there?
And where can you get this?
I got this off of Amazon.
I had to
rent it.
Okay, that's well worth it.
It's well worth it. So I'm going to tell you a little bit more. And like, I'm not trying to ruin it for anyone, but in a way, I feel like I have to talk about it to somebody. and Joanne Stewart in the chat, she's like, nope. So they reach out to Christina. William Friedkin reaches out to her again, and he's like, I'd like to interview her. Interview you, you'll have to watch because there's some sort of mix-up as to where they're supposed to meet for an interview. But instead, they go into a church, which is like my first thing is, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So they go into a church. It's just, I think, William Friedkin, another production person with him, Christina and her boyfriend. Now, I can't remember if the camera malfunctioned or if they just didn't bring in anything. They must have brought something. It must have malfunctioned, because what ended up happening in there is that there's no footage of it. You just got to take his word for it, which I don't see why I wouldn't. She goes ballistic, and they can't control her. But then it's also not just her, it's her boyfriend.
He also starts going a little.
He is like, you give me the footage that you shot the other day or we will kill you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just like kind of goosebumping over here.
Well, that actually brings me to, like, I had a friend whose son would growl every time he went into a church.
Yeah.
Like, uncontrollably growl.
That is not right.
No.
That's not
And that's
good
the first
thing
that flashed to my mind was her telling me about her son when he was little would just growl.
Yeah. So, I mean, they clearly make it out of there. And, you know, without the footage, I mean, you just got to take it at face value that William Friedkin is being very honest about this exchange. But during it, when he's talking about it, they're playing her screams while he's talking about it. And you're like, oh, gosh, this is pretty, pretty heavy stuff.
Okay, so this is going to be a rent for Amazon coming up here probably this Sunday.
Yeah, and this is where you do want to have the lights on.
I will watch it during the day.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a this is really good, but if you're not into this, and like I said, Joanne, she just wrote gone, nope. It sounds like that she actually like left the broadcast, you know, and I don't blame people, because this stuff is pretty heady, but this was a very, very serious program, you know. And he goes to a lot of like doctors as well, getting the opinion of what is, what could this possibly be beyond, you know, like a possession, you know. So he's trying to figure out if, you know, and he's playing back tapes of Christina. He's going through a lot of other reams. He's trying to find a reasonable explanation for it all. And it's pretty incredible. It's well worth the time if you're into that sort of thing. If you are not, steer clear.
You know what? I would love to get Dr. Father Ken to view that and give his unbiased opinion.
I can ask him. I can ask him what he thinks of that. You know, I mean, because that, I mean, and with it being, and it was, that would make it Father Immort's final exorcism. That would have been his last one, because he died about a month or so after that. Because she was supposed to go back to him, and he died.
And from there, I mean, that's one of the things I would love to hear Father Ken be like. So if the priest from the exorcisms die, is there another one that they go to next, or does the whole process start over again?
I mean, you'd have to think it starts over to some degree, right? Because they have to get familiar with everything. And I think where they leave it is that Friedkin is like, we kept trying to reach out to Christina afterwards, and she never responded.
Oh, my. Yeah, I do want to peep this out.
Yeah, it's well worth the view. Thank you, Brian, for posting about it. He's a demonologist out in the East Coast, and he definitely is a study of that subject, and he loves collecting the books and loves watching the stuff. And I don't even remember seeing the other Exorcist films, but the original still is just jaw-dropping. You know, there's nothing like it.
No, still to this day in 2023, it holds up for any audience, whether you are believe in the paranormal or if you're just looking for a fright.
Totally.
But the only other exorcism film I've seen was the spoof of Exorcist, Repossessed.
Is that the one with James Wood?
No, that's the one with Leslie Nielsen and Linda Blair.
Linda, of course.
She's in it again. She gets repossessed. Emery, the drill sergeant from Full Metal Jacket, he plays a televangelist.
Oh, that would work, yeah.
Very funny movie. But It definitely does spoof The Exorcist. But to be honest with you, Exorcist, again, the greatest horror movie I think ever made.
I agree.
There's no topping it. No jump films, no slasher films, no psychological thrillers.
No.
Exorcist is the top, and then it's a far drop from everything else. Until you get to a true documentary, and that might actually be scarier than The Exorcist.
Well, it's certainly, and I hope I'm not overselling it, but yeah, take a watch and let me know. And you know, we're gonna head to break here in a second, but I do want to say when we come back, I'm gonna talk about Linda Blair's story. It made me think about something before we get really too far down this. So I just want to also let people know that we're giving away tickets tonight to The Last Voyage of the Demeter, Universal Films. We have advanced screening tickets for August 9th at the AMC Rosedale. So if you're local, please call in now, 952-946-6205 to get tickets, 952-946-6205, and we'll be right back.
Reach your highest level of consciousness and well-being with MetamorphosisConnections.com. MetamorphosisConnections.com is an online directory of the best holistic and metaphysical practitioners to help you make your most informed choices. You can search MetamorphosisConnections.com for classes, events, wellness and life coaches, plus metaphysical products and shops. You can also search for a wide array of healers from all modalities, including EFT, sound healing, energy healing, light therapy, ancestral healing, shamanic healing, reflexology, past life regressions, hypnotherapy, yoga, and more. And if you're not sure where to start, the search feature on MetamorphosisConnections.com is tailored to help both those who know what they are looking for and those who are just starting. Come explore the possibilities for your higher self by visiting MetamorphosisConnections.com. Their experienced practitioners can guide both beginners and those that are already on their spiritual journey. That's MetamorphosisConnection.com, your link to direct you on your spiritual transformation.
And don't forget, we still have some tickets available for the Anderson House event with Dave Schrader. That's the 18th through 20th. We have a handful of tickets left. The hotel itself is sold out, so if you get tickets for the event, we are going to give you a list of areas around nearby that you could stay at. Dave has not investigated here before, and we just this week started talking about the menu items and the different ways that we're going to really make this event pretty amazing. Go to charvinity.com to get your tickets. They're in the menu. You'll see events. Go to events. The event will be listed there, and there you'll also be see the full itinerary of what we're going to be doing over the course of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So please go check it out. It's going to be a great time, and I cannot wait to do this, and I can't wait to see what it's like to investigate with Dave Schrader. So it's your opportunity to do so. Also, we are giving away tickets right now to Universal Films' The Last Voyage of the Demeter. It is the story of the ship that brought Dracula from Transylvania to England, to Whitby. And it's just a short part of Bram Stoker's novel, but I think this is going to be pretty good. If you've seen any of the trailers and stuff, it looks fantastic. We're taking callers right now, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We have tickets for an advanced screening August 9th at the AMC Rosedale. So just know you have to be local to call in because it's only going to be in Rosedale. But that would be fantastic. You know, one of the things I'm going to do here real fast, because I think it's really funny, we brought up Linda Blair. We brought her up, and there's a story that I want to share with everybody because I think it's kind of funny. You may think it's like boring, but let's find out. So some of you know I'm a real big fan of Doctor Who, okay? So Doctor Who has a lot of conventions around America, around the world. And I'm not gonna put any names in of anybody or even the convention, but a friend of mine was the handler for one of the big names at the convention, one of the really big names from the new series, if you know what I mean, the old series of Doctor Who and the new series. So we afterwards, my friend And to back up a second, what happens at these things is that people give gifts to these big guests. Like they give them like whatever. And it's really interesting to see the gifts that these big guests get because, first of all, they can't take them back to England with them. They just can't. Some of these are elaborate gifts. And some of them are ridiculous. Like I said, this is a Doctor Who guest star. And afterwards, my friend ended up with all the gifts that were given to this star. She couldn't take them back with her. And so he took them. You know, it wasn't like, I'll take them. She's just like, you take them. You do what you need to do with them. We all met up at a room in the hotel afterwards, and we started going through the gifts, not so much that we could divvy them up, because more of just the comedy value of what these gifts are, because like they gave her Kleenex, they gave her like some stuff was really sweet, but she just couldn't take it with her. One of the things I got was, well, what she got and I eventually got was a picture of Linda Blair from The Exorcist throwing up. Right, Adam?
And you could see the pea soup?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It just a still from the film, glossy 8.5 by 11 picture of her throwing up, given to this Doctor Who star. So it's like, I'm not sure why she got this, but they all knew I was into this stuff, so they gave it to me. And I was like, thanks. So I took it back to Minnesota with me, only to find there used to be some large Paracons in Menomon, Minnesota, over at the Shooting Star Casino. And so I'd gone a number of years, and just so happened that year was Linda Blair was there. And I'm like, I got to find this picture and have her sign it. And you know what? I couldn't find it anywhere.
But is it the same 8x10 glossy that she has sitting at her booth?
I have no idea. All I know is that there is an 8.5 by whatever glossy of Linda Blair throwing up in my house. Not throwing up in my house, but you know.
Yeah, we get it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just was like, I really want – and I didn't even want her to sign it. I wanted a picture of her and me holding it. But it didn't happen. I couldn't find it. And I don't know if I even know where it is to this day. I don't know.
Well, that is definitely one to find. Okay, it's got to be sitting around in an old folder somewhere, probably something you haven't looked at in years. Like probably an old case file, old case study you had from that time period of investigating. Or a bookmark.
Could be. I mean, and the house is, you know, pretty full of garbage at the moment. So, I mean, it could be anywhere. But just the fact that somebody thought, you know what, big star of Doctor Who, you need this. I mean, why did they get that? I do not know.
It had to be some sort of promotional, like they give you the bags and stuff at those cons when you're the...
No, it had nothing to do with any of that. It was independent of all that.
Really?
Yeah, no. It was we're in line to meet this person, this big name from Doctor who has not been in The Exorcist, has not been in any of those type of films, and they were like, I got something for you, and here it is. You know, and it's a picture of Linda Blair throwing up.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, I don't understand what – it's amazing what goes through the mind of – people when they're going to meet big names. It really is interesting.
I will say I've only been starstruck once in meeting any big name, and it was a pitcher for the Twins, and he happened to be wearing his World Series rings. It was Bert Blyleven.
Oh, Bert.
And that's the one time I've ever been starstruck, but it was more from the championship ring than the actual person.
But I'll tell you, in my opinion, if you're going to meet anyone from the Twins, you couldn't do worse than that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I love that guy. He's
great. No, that's fantastic. So, yeah, that was That was interesting. If I, because I'm doing a clean out of the house now. If I'll update everybody if I ever find that picture, I'll bring it in. You know, let's have fun and look at a still of The Exorcist with Linda Blair.
We can make that your commercial break drop.
We could. We really could. Or we could have a sound effect of her throwing up when we're sick and tired of guests that, you know, don't know when to stop talking or something. That could be the sound effect to you got to stop talking.
Oh, yeah, we can definitely throw that up on the board here. That would not be an issue.
No. So there is lots of great ideas. This is kind of a brainstorming session as well as a radio show. One other thing. Do you still watch Simpsons?
Yeah, I do catch The Simpsons from time to time.
I do like it, and I have been watching it on FX or FXX. Mm-hmm. So I have Disney Plus, and I'm like, you know, I haven't seen the most recent season 34. And so I started watching it, and right away it's like to me that the quality is not bad at all. And I don't know if you'd seen the episode that they did a spoof on the movie It.
Yes, that was funny.
Not It.
Yeah, and it was a deep pull from both the movies and the TV miniseries.
Yes.
I enjoyed it.
It was fantastic. And there was some, let's not go as far as scary, but surprising moments in there. Like there was moments that were meant to kind of jump and take you off guard, I think.
Yeah, it's like what they've been doing with the Treehouse of Horrors the last couple of years. There have been those jump moments in those.
Yeah, which the one for that year aired the next week.
Oh, right on.
Yeah,
it did.
And so the Not It one obviously is Krusty the Clown as the clown, but boy, they make him look pretty sinister in that.
Okay, there is a shot in that episode it's like the original It when Georgie's gets brought into the drain, where Krusty's head is in the drain.
Yes.
And oh my goodness, I think that would be just a cool piece of wall art for any Halloween decor.
I posted that actually, that still on my Facebook page this week when I, because it moved me, for lack of a better term, enough to post about it, see if anyone else had seen it. Because I just find that so many people dog on the series these days. And when I'm watching it, there's at least one laugh out loud moment in every episode for me. But I just think that the quality of the series is much better than people give it credit for.
It is. The writing isn't like it was well back, but
right.
The character development over the past 5-6 seasons, because they have introduced some new characters, has actually been pretty good.
Yeah, it has. It certainly has. And so Krusty looks incredible in it. And then the following week is the Treehouse of Horror. And the first part, the first one in it, is something that takes over Marge, that she needs to kill Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
That is freaky. It is because it's so against what you see from the series of what Marge is to Maggie, that it actually made me not squeamish. Let's not get carried away, but it just, like, I don't want to see this.
No, but that was the first Treehouse of Horror where Marge's character did a complete 180.
It is, yeah.
From her normal bit, because
it truly is.
Yeah, she's been the vampire before. Yeah, she hooked up with the alien because that's where Maggie is actually from.
Yeah.
But every Treehouse of Horror, she is still the rock of the Simpson family, but not Treehouse 34.
No.
That's the best Marge in any of those I think they've ever had.
It truly was. Definitely. For those of you who are just like, I haven't watched in a while, if you have Hulu, Disney Plus, they're streaming on there. Season 34, the It version is called Not It, and it covers both chapters of the films within one episode, and then you have the Treehouse of Horror after that the following week. Really good stuff.
Is it sad though when it comes to It? I do like that original from like 1990, 94, somewhere around there, better than the two full featured flicks.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's kind of my way of also of like, have you ever seen Salem's Lot from 1979?
Yes, I absolutely love that movie. I remember sneaking out to watching my mom and her boyfriend. They had rented the video, and I snuck out of my bedroom. My mom's boyfriend at the time, a guy named Marty, noticed me, and he's like, well, come on, let's watch it. And my mom's like, he can't watch this. And Marty's like, no, sit down and watch it. And then my next movie I peeped out after that was like The Lost Boys. And then that started me going down the horror movie trek, if you will.
Sure.
Was Children of the Corn.
Well, and so Salem's Lot was, for those of you who may not know, the original film was actually a miniseries on CBS. It aired two consecutive Fridays in 1979. So I was four, and I don't know why I was allowed to watch this, but the cliffhanger to the first part is like burnt into my brain. It's watching it now, I still think it's very scary. I still think it's like one of the best definitely one of the best television horror films of all time. Mm-hmm. Like it should have been a theatrical release like it was in the UK. But what it could work with, I watched it a couple years ago again. It could work with some tighter editing. Like each scene lingers for a little bit too long. You could just tighten it up a little bit. But otherwise, the makeup is amazing. Everything is – it's frightening. It is very very atmospheric. Jerusalem's Lot, which becomes Salem's Lot, is very well handled in the film, even though it was shot in L.A. or not L.A. but California. Mm. Now they're coming out with a new one, and immediately my first thought is, well, it's never going to be as good as the 1979 one. But I've heard from people who've seen stuff about it says that it looks pretty good.
I haven't heard anything about the remake, but yeah, I would love to actually peep that one out because Salem's Lot, all of those late 70s, early 80s, and then there was like this big lull.
Yeah.
And then in the early 90s, you got into more horror films instead of like the slasher style films. And it is the stuff like Salem's Lot, Children of the Corn, It, The Stand. Those are the ones that I absolutely love.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's no coincidence that you're talking – at least two of those you're talking about are Stephen King. It seems like Stephen King plays out better – like his work plays out better on television for certain stories when they're allowed to breathe a little bit more. Because it for television was also like two parts, wasn't it? It was a miniseries as well,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that was a miniseries. The first half was them as children.
Yeah.
And then the second half was them as adults. And it, when I watched it – well, I shouldn't say watched it by choice. My Aunt Beth was a huge Stephen King fan, so that's why I saw It and The Stand and
sure.
Langoliers and all of those. But I remember duct taping my cousin, me and my best friend, duct taping him to a chair and making him watch that while we had to babysit him one day. And to this day, my cousin Brandon is still petrified of clowns.
Right. Yeah. Well done.
But hey, that's what a loving cousin does.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's how that works. Well, especially clowns like that. Now, I haven't seen Chapter 2 of the film the recent film version of It. I got the 4K release of it. I just never got around to it. I was watching it. I watched the first part with an ex-girlfriend, and then we broke up, and I just never got around to watch the second part. But, I mean, I enjoyed the first part of the more recent one. I thought that was pretty good.
My 14-year-old has said that It Part 1 is better than It Part 2.
Hmm. I could see that. I mean, there's something just more interesting about children facing that sort of fear, you know. And I think that when you're going up against something like Pennywise, I think it's much more interesting to see how children deal with that. But it's also, I mean, since the second film is the same with the miniseries, that the children are now grown up. I mean, it's like, what have they dealt with their entire life?
Yeah, because if you remember, there's the one who ends up killing himself.
Yeah.
Like right away, as soon as he gets the phone call that it is back.
Yeah.
And then you have the little girl, and I'm blanking on the characters' names, I apologize.
Me too.
She had a rough childhood to begin with. Then space clown spider shows up, ruins more of her childhood. And then she even is having a rough, you know, adult life, too.
Yeah.
When Space Clown shows back up.
Absolutely.
And that's the character you always end up feeling for. And I apologize. The characters' names escape me right now. But that's the character I think they should have based the second or the first movie around would have been The Little Girl, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. We're giving away tickets to The Last Voyage of the Demeter. We still have some tickets. We've had a call come through. Give us a call, 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. That advanced screening is going to be taking place August 9th at the AMC Rosedale. Give us a call. Adam will take down your particulars so that we can get you those tickets. What we're going to do, we're going to take our second break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking about these horror movies and whatever else comes to mind, plus what you want. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950.
If you own a holistic or metaphysical business and are looking to expand, then you need to be listed on metamorphosisconnections.com. It's a network where you can grow with like-minded practitioners and reach new clients. MetamorphosisConnections.com is an online directory you need to list yourself and your business. Our platform makes it easy for you to create listings of your products and services, and you can also choose to list your classes, events, and so much more. MetamorphosisConnections.com helps you create weekly and monthly promotional ads targeted towards your potential clients and promotes them for you via social media and newsletter. There are clients searching for your specialty right now. Let us help them find you. Start your listing today so you can share your own unique gifts and talents by finding the level of membership that best fits your needs. Let us help you reach your clients that are searching for what you do. Visit MetamorphosisConnections.com and sign up today.
And join us Monday as we're going to have on Tom Maurer, who is the state director for MUFON. We're going to be talking about all things UFO related. We'll probably talk about that congressional hearing. I really want to talk quite a bit, actually, about their methodology for the research that they do, especially if they're getting calls in from people like us who are talking about sightings or talking about some kind of interaction. I'm very curious to kind of get a firsthand account of what that is like. So that's going to be Monday with Mr. Tom Maurer. I'm really looking forward to that. I am very glad that he agreed to take part in that. And we still have tickets left, folks, for the last of Last Voyage of the Demeter, Universal Films. We have advanced screening tickets for August 9th at the AMC Rosedale. You have a chance to get tickets, and one pass is for two people. You can call us right now, 952-946-6205. If you'd like to win a pair of tickets, that's 952-946-6205. And definitely, I think it's going to be great. So please give us a call if you'd like to go see that. In the comments, I saw friend Joe says, fun talking points, brings back a lot of TV kid memories. And yeah, I mean, there's some really good, some great stuff back then. You know, people, you know, I think just as time goes on, people forget about some of those darker programs. Did you ever see from Dan Curtis Productions a program called Trilogy of Terror?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, the tiki
the
guy.
Doll.
Oh my God! Yeah. Yes, and he just would stab the. Oh my! Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, that's another one that's just.
Oh, I loved that.
And it just burned into my brain, and I didn't realize, and I can't remember her name, the actress name. She's in all three of the programs, all three of the stories for Trilogy of Terror, but everyone always remembers that last one.
Yeah, that's by far the most iconic, and also Creepshow and Creepshow 2.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved those.
Which also has very early appearances of like Ted Danson in the first one, right?
Yeah, he's the one who gets his buried in the sand.
Yeah, that's right. Another one that I don't know if you had seen because you're a little bit younger than I am, but The Night Stalker.
The Richard Ramirez story?
No. That's true too. Night Stalker, Carl Kolchak. He's a reporter in Chicago, and every week he runs into something paranormal. It's from the 70s.
Oh, my goodness. That's what that's called?
Yes.
So every now and again I hop on Twitch, and there's this Twitch station that just airs nothing but old TV horror.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no breaks in between. It just runs from episode to episode to episode. And I had no idea what that was. But yes, I've seen a couple of those.
So starring Darren McGavin, the series is properly called Kolchak, The Night Stalker. And right, it is, you know, it's I don't think it's scary, but it's such a fun premise. And like, it's like one week it's I'm blanking on names, the serial killer from London.
Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper. Like, he survived and he's in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is like, some parts look like it's shot in Chicago, but the series was actually mainly shot out in L.A. in the 70s. So you do get that kind of like, this doesn't look like Chicago sort of thing, but it's some great names, some great guest stars and stuff. So that's another one I would say definitely really fun stuff. And one more thing I was going to ask you. I don't know. Were you ever a fan of Futurama?
Yeah. My favorite episode is 30% Iron Chef. That is my favorite episode. But yes, I do like the Futurama.
Have you watched any of the new ones?
No, I have not.
Okay. Because I have Hulu. It's on Hulu. They drop new episodes every Monday. Excuse me. The first one, not great.
Okay.
It made me almost not sure if I wanted to watch any more. Mm-hmm. You know, it just was kind of like very lip service to Hulu, even though it's like an inside joke. And it's just like kind of when Futurama gets a little like up its own butt,
yeah.
You know, and we've seen that a lot actually in the series. The second episode is actually pretty beautiful.
Right on.
It's really good. It's like, this is the Futurama I remember. So once again, if you're able to do so, definitely check it out.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about the relaunch of Futurama because they tried it a few years prior on Comedy Central, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it didn't fly for me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no.
But the originals, I absolutely dug the original sets.
There is one, I think, from the Comedy Central, because it was on Fox, it went away, and it came back. I think it came back as Comedy Central first, then came back as Sci-Fi,
mm-hmm.
and then now it's on Hulu. And maybe I got the two in between wrong. I don't quite remember. But there was one where it was like kind of out-of-universe story where it's about like salmon, and their characters are salmon. And they're like, you know, and so you have like the mating ritual and stuff like that, and they're all – You know,
I think I kind of remember that one, yeah.
And it's like, what are you thinking? I'm just like, this does nothing for me at all. I don't like this. You know, I get the point that you want to be creative, you want to do, but it just seems like this is really a stretch.
No, but then you've also got the Slurm episode.
Oh, that's the best, though.
And then what's the other one? The supposed to be Ally McBeal. Where the aliens are getting the Earth signal like 3,000 years later.
Yeah.
And Ally McBeal episode gets cut off, and then they come to Earth.
Oh, that's right.
And they think Leela should be Ally McBeal, and they want to refilm everything.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
right. Was a great one.
That's a great one. And then, of course, the one that is the saddest of any type of television show ever was Jurassic Bark is the name of the episode.
Oh, the one with the dog.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That one. Yeah.
At the end of that, if you ever want a good cry, I mean, I post that on a regular basis on my Facebook page just to kind of get a rise out of people. And I've had men who I've worked with who are just like very tough and very, you know, and they're always like, this always makes me cry.
And the opening to Up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Those two cartoons, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's certainly it's certainly it's amazing what these programs can do to really touch your heartstring, to really come after you, you know what I mean? It's pretty amazing.
And then when you get into the cartoon realm where they're animated characters, but the writing is so good that you actually kind of form a small bond. And I don't know if that's the right word. But
I think
it's
so.
Like, yeah, when Fry, you know, he has his dog back for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, man.
The dog barks, I'm walking on sunshine.
Yeah.
There's also one, too, where – and if anyone has lost a parent, this is one that gets to me, too, is that – there's something with the timeline, of course, going back to 1999, again, December 31st, 1999, Fry has to get something from his mother. And so it's not really his mother, but it is his mother, so to speak. And what he's dealing with is, I just want, like, another day with her. You know, and that's kind of the premise of that. And anyone who's lost a parent or something, or you know, any loved one, where it's just like, I just want another day with them. When I first watched it, I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty powerful. But now since I've lost both my parents, that's one of those that I'm just like, I could really understand where that comes from. And all the other people, other characters of Futurama are trying to pull him kind of back out because they need – it's like the whole universe is on the balance of whatever Fry is doing. And, of course, you know, he just wants to have time with his mother, you know.
Yeah, that is – that is one of the tougher ones.
Yeah.
But overall, it is a good episode.
It's a great episode. And those sort of things where you just can have those moments and relate, like you said, with an animated character, that's pretty incredible, actually, when you think about it. You know, that you're just like, oh, I get you. I understand you, Fry. Of all people, I understand you.
Fry's the easiest one to understand, out of that group.
I mean, there's so many good ones. And as you mentioned, Fry and the Slurm Factory.
Yeah.
That is like the takeoff on Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. It is such a great homage to that story. And it's probably one of my favorites of the whole series, easily.
And their version of the semi-wondrous boat ride in that episode is great, too, just like in the movie.
My best part is whatever the Oompa Loompas there are, and they do their whole whole song, and then Professor Farnsworth just cuts to Professor Farnsworth angry and goes, "Tell them I hate them." I'm like, well, wow, I love that. It's just so. it's a great program, and it's you know the funny not funny but the thing about it is that it's very. When it's really well written, it's very well written. It's just very smart storytelling, very smart comedy. And there's a lot of comedy that I think a lot of people, I know I do, I miss because it is high level comedy, a lot of like science comedy in there as well.
Yeah, I don't get a lot of that, but I was never a science guy. I'll hear my wife laugh, but you know, she works in the medical field, so she deals with a lot of things that, you know, they'll talk about scientifically. And like, oh, it's like, oh, I was supposed to laugh at that.
Right.
My bad.
Exactly. we are still giving away tickets to The Last Voyage of the Demeter for a advanced screening August 9th at the AMC Rosedale. Feel free to call in if you would like tickets, 952-946-6205. Adam will be taking down your information so that we can get you information to how to, you know, pick up your tickets and whatnot. I'm looking forward to that. We were talking a little bit about it before we went on the air, and it looks really good. The film looks really good, really well made, and it looks genuinely creepy.
It does, and it doesn't look like it's going so much for the gore or jump up type of scare like Meg 2, which is out in theaters right now, is doing.
Yeah.
This one, it's to me, it looks kind of cool because I only read the abridged Bram Stoker's Dracula,
mm-hmm.
and it does kind of glaze over the boat ride when you read the abridged version. And then, of course, I watched the Coppola flick, and I've always kind of wanted to know. It's like, you know, they get to the port, and it's like the boat is empty. There's just a coffin with dirt in it.
And what's his face? Renfield.
Yeah, and Renfield. Yeah. And it's just like, okay, well, what happened? But I never got around to reading the full book, just the abridged in high school. So this I'm really excited to see because also I'm too lazy to go out and buy the unabridged version.
And I'm going to say the Francis Ford Coppola Dracula to me was beautiful, but I think overly produced.
Very, very overly produced. They spent way too much in settings
mm-hmm.
and not accents.
Yeah.
Because Keanu Reeves, I'm sorry, I know everyone loves him. I think at that period, he was contractually obligated to say whoa in every movie.
Right, yeah.
To me, that was the one downfall of that flick was Keanu. Everything else I liked, especially Gary Oldman, I loved.
Would you ever have thought the fact that maybe, perhaps, this was actually some sort of out-of-universe Bill and Ted Excellent Adventure, and that was actually I don't remember which moron he played, but you know, in that film it's actually Bill or Ted, and it's not Harker or whatever
Harker,
his name.
Yeah. No, I never looked at it that way. There was no George Carlin for me to put the two together,
right?
And Death wasn't there either, throwing a bunch of jokes out.
Yeah, I've never actually seen the second or third one, only the first one.
I saw the second one, not great. Didn't see the third one. The first one, though, that holds a special place in my heart.
Yeah, that's a cult film.
It really was.
That's a cult film. And I will say also, as we're wrapping up here, that in my opinion, probably the best adaptation of Dracula is one that probably most people don't realize, is the 1977 BBC production of Dracula with Louis Jourdain. And I think it's really good. Really creepy, actually.
Man, you and your British stuff. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, it's good stuff. And I would definitely, if you can, check it out. Just as we're wrapping up here, don't forget Monday, we're going to have Tom Maurer on, who is the Minnesota State Director for MUFON. And we'll be giving away more tickets to the new Universal Pictures film, The Last Voyage of the Demeter. Please make sure to visit ghostboxradio.com to find past episodes of our radio shows, and like us over on Facebook at Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken. Also, please leave a review if you listen to us on any of the podcast platforms. I'd really appreciate it. And you can also send comments or feedback to comment@ghostboxradio.com. That also includes if there is any guests or anything or topics you want us to cover. Don't forget to check out Best of Ghostbox Radio, airing Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 4 p.m. on AM 950. And finally, whether you're chasing spirits or just drinking them tonight, please be careful out there. And we're going to see you Monday as we talk about MUFON. Everybody have a great weekend. Adam, thank you so much for everything.
Thank you, man.
And we will see you all Monday. Have a safe weekend.